This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number two here on Tuesday morning. And if you would like to call in, 508-996-0500. You can also use app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. So yesterday, we talked about this story where two people, a man and a woman, both passed away in Rhode Island detention centers over the past weekend. The man was playing basketball and collapsed. They tried life-saving measures, but to no avail. And that happened on Friday night. And then early Sunday morning, there was a woman who she had only been there for a few hours and had a medical incident and ended up passing away. And so now the families of those who are behind bars are asking for answers. So the male who passed away, 48-year-old William Page, was pronounced dead at Rhode Island. This comes from ABC 6. Was pronounced dead at Rhode Island Hospital after collapsing while playing basketball in the gym at the ACI Friday evening. His great aunt said she found out from an inmate that her nephew was at the hospital. She says, what's happening to our loved ones? That's what I want to know. What's happening to our loved ones? And I will demand answers. The ACI reported that Page died of a heart attack, but his family said he was in good health. There was another person they spoke to who lost her son, who was pronounced dead February 28th at the hospital when he was found unresponsive. He was 25 years old and serving a 5-year sentence. His mother said that the nurse visited 3 times prior to his death and he was given baby aspirin each time. So the president of the Correction Officers Union, Richard Ferruccio, said that someone is usually responding to an inmate in distress within moments, that they have correctional officers trained in first aid and CPR, that they're responding, and that they do have this, they do have medical responses under control. However, he did say that there is a synthetic drug called K2 that comes into the prison on paper that is a huge issue with the ACI, but he does not know how many of the deaths can be related to that. Now, the Rhode Island Department of Corrections released a statement to ABC6 that reads in part, quote, "People come to us from police departments and courts with all manner of afflictions, comorbidities, and medical ailments. Just like in nursing facilities, hospitals, and other extended care centers, people unfortunately pass away due to different causes." Now, again, that says in part, but that part seems a little cold. And say what you will, and I'm sure people are yelling at the radio right now, "Oh, they're inmates in a correctional facility, Tim." Right, they are. But A, they're still human beings. But also B, they're in the care of the Rhode Island Department of Corrections, who are responsible for them. So this statement comes across as saying, like, not our fault. And it seems like a blanket statement. Again, it's only the statement in part. I'm sure that the larger statement, if ABC6 had published the whole thing, says more to that effect. But just in putting that little bit out there, it seems a little bit like shirking responsibility. But with the president of the Correctional Officers Union talking about this K2, the synthetic drug, that may be responsible for more than anything else. Although you're also then saying, well, these people were on drugs, and the family is saying, well, that's not the person that we know. Well, a couple of things about that. One, you don't know that the person intentionally took it. Second, you also don't know what they have to do to get through day-to-day life in the correctional facility. So while they might not have been that kind of person on the outside, it might be a little bit different when they're on the inside. And again, I'm not saying that, you know, Rhode Island Department of Corrections is responsible for what's going on, but I'm just saying they need to be a little bit more a little bit less defensive, a little bit less passing the buck. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
So inmates in this country, in most correctional, at least state facilities like ACI, get probably some of the similar health care that we get as people who are not incarcerated. And in many cases, they also get better. I did a lot of, I worked in the Department of Correction for many years, and I brought inmates to Boston, to Mass Eye and Ear and Boston Medical Center and all these different places where I gotta tell you, I've never been to. They get health care, they get reviews, and the Department of Correction, the statement from Rhode Island is pretty accurate. They get folks. ACI is a little different than many other state correctional facilities because it's both a jail and a prison, which there's two distinct differences. And they get people right off the street that have not taken care of themselves or unable to take care of themselves for, you know, many, many years. And their health is really in poor condition to start with. And I will tell you that they will do a review. They will have a peer review. They will be sued. There'll be a wrongful death suit on both of those, and they'll have to substantiate and validate what they did and what happened. And people need to start taking responsibility for their own shortcomings as well as the family. You know, you never hear from the family until someone passes away in a lot of cases when it comes to prison. But I want to stick up for the profession because it's not what it seems. It's not what it seems. Well, a lot of taxpayer money is spent on inmate health care. There's professionals that run the health care system. There's peer reviews. There's mortality reviews. And just like any other health care system, there's probably mistakes that are made as well.
Well, let me ask you this.
And that's just... Yep.
Just based on your experience. So this group, this prisoner rights group, Direct Action for Rights and Equality, they're saying that there are four known inmate deaths that have occurred so far this year. I mean, in your experience, would four inmate deaths in the first 4 months of a year be something that's extreme or?
Not in a jail. They're getting people that, you know, coming off the street that come from, you know, the statement was accurate. You know, they're coming from all different backgrounds, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, living homeless, all kinds of things that, morbidity, all kinds of things that, you know, contribute to some of these deaths. Depending on the age of the person, depending on what condition they're in, you know, it's rough living, being the life of crime in an inmate. It's tough living. It's tough on the body. I've seen people in their 50s, that look 70 and look 80 because it's a rough lifestyle, let me tell you. And it's not nice to the body and to the healthcare. So, no, those things come in waves and depending on what the causes are, especially jails. Prisons, sometimes, you know, inmates have been in jail for a while before they're convicted and then they get into prisons. And depends what type of prison it is. There's prison hospitals, there's mental health facilities. There's facilities that are designed or have programs related to substance abuse, which people have compromised immune systems. So they have some inmates are some of the unhealthiest people that we have in this country.
Well, I appreciate the insight. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Have a good day. And you know, I feel that that's probably the case in a lot of these cases. And in some of these cases, it might also be just because a person was quote unquote healthy on the outside. It doesn't mean that they didn't have some sort of medical condition that was undiagnosed. So this gentleman who collapsed while playing basketball, that could have happened if he was playing basketball, not in prison. You know, his family was like, well, he was a healthy individual. Okay. But a lot of times these heart ailments, we don't even know that we have. People seem perfectly healthy otherwise. Look at Reggie Lewis. The guy was a elite level athlete. And nobody knew that he had this heart condition until the first time he collapsed from it. So it seems like there's, as the caller said, you know, it might just be that it's happening in a concentrated amount of time, but that it's not anything that is unusual. And I don't think that the Department of Corrections has any role in this. I don't think that they've caused it, but I think that there's a feeling that the statement, the way that ABC 6 portrayed it, comes across as callous. But again, they probably didn't put the whole statement because they took just the part that got the reaction. You know what I mean? 508-996-0500. If you want to call in and chime in. But that is something that the caller is absolutely right about too. I mean, and he knows from experience, but there will be wrongful death lawsuits because it happened while they were in the custody of the Department of Corrections. And there'll be investigations that happen before those lawsuits. The family won't accept the findings of the investigation. They'll push forward with the lawsuit, and then it'll have to be proven in a court. But what can you do if you are the Department of Correction? I mean, look at what the measures that Sheriff Hero has been going through to try to limit inmate suicide. At least that is an identifiable problem that they can find solutions for. And he identified the biggest solution for that was, you know, fixing the beds so that they couldn't hang themselves from the beds. And so far it's been working. But again, that was an identifiable problem. There may be no identifiable problem in these particular cases, or at least something that would fall on the Department of Corrections to have to handle. It could be that comorbidity. It could be that previous drug use. It could be a heart defect that nobody knew about. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments.
App.
Welcome back in. The sun is out. It is shining bright, and that means that, well, you might be thinking about solar. You might be thinking about going solar, and you might be thinking about all of the questions that you have about going solar. And if you need those questions answered, the best people to answer them are Isaacson Solar, because they are your friends and neighbors. They are a Fall River-based company. They're not a company that comes in and installs a bunch of solar panels on homes in an area and then moves on to the next area and then moves on to the next area. They're not a company that, you know, just hires day workers to come and install these solar panels and then the next day it might be a different. No, they know what they're doing. They do it right. And they will give you simple, direct, honest answers to all of your questions. Like, you might walk outside in your yard and say, gee, it seems like my yard is a great fit for solar. Look at how nice the sun is shining. But then they come down, they do an assessment, and they say, yeah, but for a majority of the year, when your house is facing in this direction, so they will tell you the truth. They're not there to sell you solar panels. They're there to sell you on a sustainable future. And if solar panels aren't right, they'll tell you that. But if they are right, they will give you a free, no obligation estimate. So what are you waiting for? Get all of your questions answered about going solar by calling Isaacson Solar or visiting them online, isaacsonsolar.com. And again, simple, honest, straightforward, direct answers. It's hard to get that in any industry these days, especially the solar industry, but Isaacson Solar will bring that to you. All right, well, we are going to be going into the newsroom in just a moment. When we come back, I mean, I guess we have to give platitudes to John Sterling, since he is retiring, the longtime Yankees announcer. He had to suddenly retire due to health issues. And of course, you know, we wish him the best in that regard. But all of these people who are like, oh, John Sterling, such an iconic voice, single most annoying announcer in any sport ever. That's the way I feel about it. An A-bomb from A-Rod. Shut up. Here comes the judge. Shut up. I read an article once that put it perfectly. John Sterling doesn't call the baseball game that's on the field. He calls the baseball game that he wants to call in order to deliver the performance he wants to deliver. And I couldn't stand it. So I guess if you're a Yankees fan and, you know, he's doing the Yankees win so many times in your life, yeah, you become attached to it. But for the rest of us, we say, okay, see you later. But still, you don't want to see somebody have to go out because of health issues. He is 85 years old, and he had a 36-year run with the Yankees, so they will be honoring him coming up. They did offer him a chance to stay part-time, but I guess his health issues are enough now that he has to step away completely. He'd already stopped going on a lot of road trips, so. All right, 508-996-0500, but right now let's go into the newsroom and get all the headlines of the day from Phil Devitt.
The House Speaker unveils a plan for foreign aid. Jury selection continues in Trump's hush money trial. And 25 popular songs just made history.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
House Speaker Mike Johnson is unveiling a plan for foreign aid, calling for four separate bills with funding for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and other priorities. Johnson explained his plan after a closed-door GOP conference meeting Monday after months of delay. Each bill would be voted on separately before the end of the week. It's the second day of jury selection in Donald Trump's hush money criminal trial in Lower Manhattan. Scott Pringle reports.
On the first day, no jurors were selected, and it's expected to take a while to get a jury team together. At least 50 prospective jurors were dismissed after saying they could not be impartial. The former president calls the case a scam and a political witch hunt.
We're not going to be given a fair trial. It's a very, very sad thing.
The judge ruled that audio and video from the former president's infamous Access Hollywood tape cannot be played. The witnesses expected to get called to the stand in this trial include Trump's former lawyer Michael Cohen and adult film star Stormy Daniels. Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New York.
The House is expected to send articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate today. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer expected to move to quickly dismiss the charges.
As I've said repeatedly, impeachment should never be used to settle a policy disagreement. That would set a horrible precedent for the Congress.
The next step will force the Democratic-led Senate to take up the matter of impeachment against Mayorkas. Schumer said the Senate will swear in members as jurors the day after the articles are presented. Republicans in the House impeached Mayorkas in February over his handling of the U.S.-Mexico border. Mayorkas is accused of, quote, willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law. Rust armorer Hannah Gutierrez is being sentenced to 18 months in prison for the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Helena Hutchins' family attorney Gloria Allred says Gutierrez will have time to think about what happened on set now that she's been sentenced.
She hasn't taken full responsibility yet for whatever reasons, and that in and of itself is hurtful to the family. But she has been sentenced. She has been punished. Now she's going to have even more time to think about what she did.
A New Mexico jury found Gutierrez guilty for negligence in loading the live ammo into Alec Baldwin's gun on set, which killed Hutchins. Baldwin has also been charged with involuntary manslaughter and is scheduled to head to trial in July. NASA is confirming that an object that crashed through the roof of a Florida home last month came from the International Space Station. Part of a cargo pallet loaded with 5,800 pounds of old batteries hit the home on March 8th. The pallet was expected to burn up in Earth's atmosphere, and now scientists are looking to find out why their calculations were wrong. And the Library of Congress has announced the 25 new recordings that'll be archived this year. The collection spans almost 80 years, dating back to Lieutenant James Reese Europe's 369th U.S. Infantry Band song, Clarinet Marmalade. Many popular songs were included, such as Ain't No Sunshine by Bill Withers and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer by Gene Autry. Some albums also included are Arrival by ABBA, Dookie by Green Day, and Ready to Die by the Notorious B.I.G. This year, the only non-musical recording saved was This Is a Recording by comedian Lily Tomlin.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Bruins dropped their final road game of the regular season after being shut out by the Washington Capitals 2-0. They wrap up the season when they host the Ottawa Senators tonight at TD Garden. And the Red Sox and the Cleveland Guardians go for round two tonight at 7:10 after the Sox lost yesterday 6-0.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Mid to upper 40s, the temperature under clear skies. Lovely day for today. Sunny this afternoon. Temperature climbing into the mid 60s. Mostly clear overnight. Temperature will dip into the upper 30s. Another beautiful day for tomorrow under mostly sunny skies. Temperatures on the coolish side, but seasonable. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update brought to you by Ocean Wine and Spirits Liquors for the largest selection of nips near Fairhaven, now open at 157 Pope's Island in New Bedford. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Yeah.
but maybe you don't want to roam. Maybe you want to stay home. And maybe you want to spend your time fixing up your home. Well, the 2024 Northeast Home Show is coming to Tiverton, Rhode Island. It's happening at the Longplex Sports Center on Saturday, April 27th and Sunday, April 28th. The Northeast Home Show is the complete showcase for all of your needs in your home or your garden. Visitors will have the opportunity to see and experience the latest home and garden trends and innovations, listen to accomplished designers, watch creative demonstrations, source and buy new products, and so much more. If you would like to attend, you can purchase tickets now at northeasthomeshow.com or enter to win a four-pack of tickets on WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. We'll be giving those away all week. The Northeast Home Show, April 27th and 28th at the Longplex Sports Center in Tiverton. NortheastHomeshow.com or enter to win a four-pack of tickets right now at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app. So I don't know about you, but whenever I've gone to home shows, I've come up with all kinds of ideas that I never even thought I would want to do to my house. Never even realized that that's something that could be done. I'll never forget when the landlord showed up and said, "Hey, I'm going to put a front porch on your house." "What? You could do that? You can just add a front porch onto this house?" I never looked at it and said, "Oh, I could see how you could put a little front deck here." Just saw those old stone steps and figured that's how it was destined to look. But anyway, 508-996-0500. Going back to our conversation from the first hour, if you missed the article that I wrote yesterday, a lot of people are kind of surprised by this, that it was, when I said that there was a sitcom that was banned in Boston from the 70s, they were surprised that it was Welcome Back, Kotter. Because if you think about it, there was a lot of transition in 70s television, getting away from kind of the family-friendly stuff of the 50s and 60s and bringing in more of the social commentary. I think, you know, All in the Family kind of kicked that off when 71, I think that came out. But that kind of kicked off the social commentary for the most part. But there was all kinds of new innovations happening in television. When you think about the crime dramas, the police dramas, the Private Eye shows. They got really out there with some, you know, we had the Twilight Zone and the Outer Limits in the 50s and 60s, but then you got some really strange shows in the 70s about alien invasions and all kinds of things like that. It really became, TV went from being this medium that had a lot of potential and possibilities of really becoming an art form. And I think that some of the programming was a direct response to the, what they called the rural purge, which is when the networks, mostly CBS, canceled all of those rural sitcoms, Green Acres, Petticoat Junction, Andy Griffith Show, although they're like, no more of this. No more of this, aw shucks, good old days. No, we don't want that anymore. We want edgy. We want the now. We want something that's going to appeal to a different type of demographic. And so with all of those types of shows, you never would have thought Welcome Back, Kotter would have been the show that was banned. And keep in mind that the WCVB was a network that in the 70s was actually creating its own programming, its own sitcoms, its own dramas, and trying some very innovative things, like having its own kind of interactive sitcom, The Baxters, where the family would go through their weekly issue, and then the second half of the show would be a studio audience talking about those issues. And the format was so popular in Boston that Norman Lear caught the eye of Norman Lear, and he ended up syndicating the show. There was another show that they were putting out that became the, some people say, was ripped off for Cheers. A show about a Boston bar and all the wacky characters, starring the great Steve Sweeney, and it ended up, you know, having an eerie similarity to Cheers. So here's a network that was innovating when it comes to television, but yet also banned Welcome Back, Kotter for 5 weeks. Because they were afraid that with the busing and the forced integration that was going on, that they were, it was going to stir up trouble. The Sweat Hogs. That was, when I was 5, 6, 7 years old, that was one of my favorite shows. I'd watch it every day. Then as I grew older, I probably was like, oh, it's a little bit more than just the goofy, you know, slapstick that I thought that it was. A little more nuanced, and certainly I became more of a fan of the Marx Brothers, and so I became more of a fan of Gabe Kaplan's comedy. And of course, now Gabe Kaplan is a, well, retired, but he was a professional poker player. Probably made more money playing poker than he did acting and doing stand-up. Also does a great Groucho. 508-996-0500. We're going to take a break and be back in a few moments. You can also send app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Welcome back in. Hey, congratulations to the Celtics. Well, first of all, congratulations to the Celtics. They've got the playoffs coming up, and they look like they're in good shape to try to compete for a championship this year. But congratulations to forward Jason Tatum and guard Drew Holiday, who will be on Team USA's 12-man roster for the Paris Games. They will be on the U.S. men's Olympic basketball team this summer. So pretty exciting to have two Celtics representing the United States. I mean, I don't know how much people still pay attention to Olympic basketball. It's not like it was the dream team when the dream team came out, and it was the first time they could have professionals playing in the Olympics, and it was a big deal because you literally had a Mount Rushmore type situation. So many great documentaries have come out about the dream team too. It's fun to relive that. I think we all had that t-shirt where it was the dream team and it was like the caricatures of them all. Remember they used to have those shirts that would come out for the different sports teams where it was like a caricature of everybody? I think we all had that dream team shirt. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
So I just wanted to say real quick, well, the characters you just mentioned, I remember the character shirts, but I remember, I was just trying to think of his name, one Celtic, Larry Bird.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, did they always like to overdo his face because, you know, he just had that particular type of nose. But I am proud of the Celtics. Oh, I hope it's all the way. So I did read your article and I thought it was fascinating. And so I even went in further to see, like, all the expressions that come from each show.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I couldn't believe you have, like, you're so smart. Even listening to you and Lamone this morning, I don't know how you guys retain all this information. And you, especially, you're so much younger than us. And you know.
I just watch a lot of TV.
Wow, but I mean, to retain it is a whole different ballgame.
I don't remember any important information at all, though. I only remember things that I don't need to know.
Well, you know what? Those are the things that we do need to know, because those are the things that we do remember.
No, like if you ask me my social security number or, you know, my locker combination or, you know, what time I'm supposed to be at the doctor, I don't remember any of that stuff. But I can remember, you know, things about Welcome Back, Carter.
Yeah, you're so funny. So there was one expression that I was thinking, and I kind of surprised they got away with it, because your article last night got me thinking about it. Happy days, sit on it. I can't believe they got away with saying that. I don't think you could say that today, do you think?
I think you could still say it today, because they don't define what the it is. That's what made it okay. You know, if they had said whatever the it is, then it would have been an issue. But right. Because they kept it basic, they had that defensive saying, oh, we're talking about sitting on that idea.
Yeah. Well, we all know what it really meant, though. I don't know. Just looking back, I thought that was a little risky.
I mean, I think the problem with it was everything's fine until kids start repeating it. That's when people pay attention to it. You can say it all you want on television, but until kids start repeating it, where'd you hear that? Oh, I learned it on Happy Days. That's when you would have a problem.
Yeah. Well, that's like up your nose with the rubber hose. My mother got so mad at us. She's like, if I hear that one more time, like she was serious too. She was not playing. To her, that was very offensive. But today, I think that's the most ridiculous saying anyways, right?
Well, especially if you say the second half of it. The Hershey bar that, you know.
Yeah.
That goes.
Nope.
Yep. So.
Nope.
Anyway, I got to hold you there. I got to take a break here.
Nope. That's all I wanted to share with you.
All right. Thank you. You have a good one, too. All right. We got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. Oh, put another hour in the books. We have one more hour to go coming up after the news. We should be joined by Lynn Dillies, of course, the most highly acclaimed female illusionist in America. She'll be coming to New Bedford for a special performance as part of the YMCA's Full Plate Project to Make Hunger Disappear. It's happening on Saturday, May 11th at 7 p.m. at New Bedford High School's auditorium, because as you know, the Zyterian is down, so they're doing shows.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen. On sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save